It's past the appointed hour. We're good to go. Mike Horn? Yeah. Just a general reminder to elected members that we are having a little Christmas celebration after the meeting's over, courtesy of Democratic Services, and the members of the press are entitled to join us if they wish. So wish for turkey and ham and a bit of festive spirits. Slur. I have a number of apologies, Councillors Corn, Davin, Timmins, Mulgrew, and Trainers. Any other ones that we don't know of? Councillor Savage. Where is it? I suppose I should have read the small print at the start. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile phones for recording is not permitted. The proceeds of the meeting will be audio recorded, except that the committee is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before you speak. And members of the reminder, they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. You need to bear that in mind, everyone. I remind members of the committee of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests that they might have in any business before the Council committee today. If you have any such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the room for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in any vote. Thank you very much for that. Just a couple of chairperson's remarks. Remind members that Councillor Rushy Mulgrew's mother, Philomena Evans, has passed away. She's been wicked at home in Beswick tonight, last night and tonight. She's been buried tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Also, our condolences are sent to the family of Abby Nomet, 14-year-old girl who tragically died as a result of an accident near her home. And I would like to congratulate Kilcoo on winning the Ulster for the very first time, one of the best teams in the county at the minute. Do you want in?
Yes,
Leon?
I just want to echo your remarks and congratulate Kilcoo on your achievement in yesterday's championship final. It was a historic day for the club, and having my husband play in yesterday's game, I know what this achievement truly means to them, and their hard work, passion and commitment throughout the year was evident in yesterday's game, and I wish them all the best going forward.
Well done, Kilcoo.
The council will be sending a letter to Terry for both those families.
Yes, thank you very much. Just very sorry to hear.
Okay. Any members who declarations of interest, which I have already indicated, any other should please sit now or forever hold your peace.
Sure. Yes. Claire Numbers from item 11.
NSE. Thank you very much for that. Me too.
Me too.
Item number 3 is the action sheet, which you have a copy there in front of you. I think all items on it have been actioned. If there's any issues, raise them and we try and clarify it from the top table here. We're happy enough with it. We need a proposal and seconder. Shall we have a proposal and seconder, please? Proposed by Terry, seconded by Leon. Item number 4 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of November. Just get through it for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Can we have a proposal and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Stokes, seconded by Flynn. Have you any matters arising out of it? No, thank you. Gary, put your light on. Just for the recorder. Another reporter, a recorder.
Thank you, Chair. No, Chair, it's just an update. Last month we ratified the FPNR minutes, and just we agreed to go to tender for consultants to take forward Albert Basin Park. Just get an update on that, Chair. And just, of course, Chair, this is the second anniversary, Chair, of the where this council came together unanimously and agreed to create a 15-acre park at the site. I'm just conscious that those 2 years have elapsed. I do think we were very much ahead of the curve, Chair. I think all the members were in that climate change has really come to the fore now, and the latest experts, even if countries meet their carbon emissions targets, they're now saying that by the end of the century, even if we do that, sea levels are raised by a metre, which is quite a bit, Chair. So I do think this project needs to move on. 2 years haven't made the decision. So just, Chair, we'll just get an update where we are with that, the appointing those consultants. Chair, thank you.
Okay, Chair, thank you. Yes, we had a very good meeting of the Albert Basin Task and Finish Working Group last week, and we updated them on the progress in that. I know the councillor wasn't able to make that meeting. The position is that we will have the consultants appointed to carry out the consultation on what the public would like to see in the park be this side of Christmas, with that work commencing in January and February of next year.
Okay, happy enough. Item number 5, the Minister of Special Council meeting held on the 28th of October. Just go through them again for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can we have a proposal or second for accuracy? Proposed by Robert, seconded by Declan. Matters arising. Oh, thank you very much. Item number 6, it's the minutes of the ERT committee meeting held on the 11th of November. Once again, through them for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4.
Page 7.
4, 5. I'll get to it first of all. Then you can come in if you want. Would you switch your microphone off just for a minute? I'll take you a minute. Are they funny? Page 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Do we have a proposal or second for accuracy? Proposed by Robert, seconded by yourself. Right, so we have a second or first of all, and then you can raise your point.
Is this ERT?
Yeah.
I'll second it.
We need his action.
No, he's definitely, he's wanting to tell us.
Yeah, I wanted to know.
Set yourself the heat in front of you, Henry.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Right. Mayor.
Chair of Council.
Chair President, I have a problem with the accuracy on page 7. There's an extraordinary suggestion that the future of tourism centres in our council area needs to be subject to some sort of secret regime where we cannot discuss which ones should be open and which ones should not be open. It cannot be accurate, Chair President. I'm sorry, Chair President, it cannot be correct to have this discussion free of public observation. That is absolutely accurate.
It's not accuracy, Chair.
It's misapplying council rules. We do not. There is no reason.
I'll remind you that the meeting, that particular item was held in committee.
It was a mistaken application of council rules. It is not accurate. It should not have been done in secrecy. It's an issue that we need to discuss in open council. The future of our tourism centres in our area is extremely important to all councillors and to the public at large.
The item, Chair, has been deferred for further discussion at the ERT committee.
Not a transparent motion. I want to take a vote on whether or not this should be held in camera or not, because it's clearly it's a misapplication of council rules, and it's inaccurate to suggest that council rules apply in this particular case. I would like to explain to me why the future of tourism centres in our council area should be subject to being in camera.
Yeah, Chair, as is stated in the agenda of the ERT, it falls under Schedule 6, Paragraph 3, Part 1, Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act. It's information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information. So it's not for discussion in open session.
Excuse me, you've already had your 5 minutes, sir. Henry, you're going in there.
Yeah, Chairman,
It's on the same issue that Councillor Enright's raised. I'm very concerned that, given the way we're managing this...
It's only after I explained to you there, Henry and Cadogan, why that was done.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you... But Chairman, I'm concerned that... are we going to allow for sufficient public consultation, consultation with the existing...
It has been deferred for more discussion anyway, Henry, to the next ERT committee meeting.
I know it is, but we're just flagging this up because it is causing a lot of concern with local councillors.
Would you wait to do your flagging at the ERT committee when it's raised again, sir? Okay. William?
Chair, the same item. So it is. No, honestly think it does need further discussion because I believe it's actually a shame and disgrace that all our councillors left, it was supposed to be in committee. You left it to local press and it was in the front page of it. I then responded the following week. I'm not on that committee. I read about it in the paper. But I think it's a damn disgrace that anyone is thinking of closing our tourist information centre in our county town.
William, the meeting was held in committee, I remind you of that. And if I was to believe everything that was written in the paper about me, I would have retired the second day after I was elected in 2001.
Chair, if there are staff involved in this, I think it's very important to make it clear that there is no proposal to close the Visitor Information Centre in Downpatrick. The matter will be discussed further at the ERT committee in December.
Chair, it is in reference to that item, but it's more a question. I'm now a member of that ERT committee. Is councillors that aren't on that allowed to be to speak on the item, because obviously it's at the chairperson's discretion that she or can or cannot permit, but can we get a commitment tonight that if those are, that attend that aren't on it can speak to the item?
It would be, it's at the chair's discretion, understand, nor does the chair unfortunately is not with us tonight, but having sat on the ERT committee, the chair will generally allow you to speak, so I can't commit for the chair, but I would say there's always a general allowance to speak.
Okay, happy enough to move on. Who proposed by who and seconded by Henry? That was a member of that, I'm not sure anyway. Right. Yeah. We need a proposal and seconded now to adopt the minutes. Seeing that those original proposal was for accuracy. Declan and Lynn. So where is this from here? Come on.
That's
part of it. Right. On to the minutes of FP&R committee meeting. Just to do it again for accuracy. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. And page 5. Can we have a proposal and a second for accuracy for the FP&R meeting held on the 14th of November? Pete and Sean Dorn. Any matters arising from that? Sorry? Sorry, sir, Pete and Sean Dorn. Item number 8, the minutes of the active and healthy community. For accuracy, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Can we have a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Sean Dorn, seconded by Leanne. Any matters arising from that? No, thank you. Item number 9 is the minutes of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting held on the 20th of November. Once again, proven for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Proposing a second for accuracy. Una and Councillor Gary Stokes. Do we have matters arising on number 9? Yes. Hold on, are you first? Sean Dorn's first. Sorry about that.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to express the disappointment in the way the Christmas tree in Kilkeel was decorated. This has become an ongoing issue all year. We held a meeting with Morris Councillors and Kilkeel KDA and the Chamber of Commerce on the 11th of November. Myself and Councillor Clark attended the meeting with council officials. They told us that the tree couldn't be decorated with the branches because of the wind was breaking The lights every year cost £8,000 last year to repair the lights. They said the skeleton of the tree would just be decorated. We expressed concerns and were told that they would give us a few of the lights before the official switch on. Last Thursday night at 9 o'clock, I got a phone call to say, come down and look at the lights. And to be honest, I just said to the officer, there's somebody nearly stand here and fire them lights up tree. They're that bad. They're just a total disgrace. So I stood and we looked at the tree for 10 or 15 minutes. This was 48 hours before the turn on. So there's very little we could do. I asked them, could they try to do something to fix the tree? So we agreed to do something. Then Saturday, Dick and Steve was on Kirkkeel. Terry Andrews was there, Councillor Hannah and myself. Brilliant display turned out the paper, great cross community event. Went to turn on the lights and it was a total embarrassment. I thought the people were actually going to boo.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think the abuse maybe Councillor Hannah got and myself got was unbelievable over the condition of the tree.
Councillor McKean.
Cars, yeah. And I think the abuse we got was over terrible. But now I want to know what's going to happen. I know there's a new tree coming up maybe tomorrow or the next day. It's going to have it to be very, very good. To please the people of Kilkeel and Mourne because the council is very badly let down in this issue. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks very much, Sean, for that. Hard.
Yes, Chairman. Same subject. We had a brilliant evening and a run up to that, but all the Christmas trees in Kilkeel Presbyterian Church, a magnificent display, and then we were part of a prominent position, councillors invited to walk at the very front, and with all these wee Santa Claus has come behind with a brilliant evening, really, really, really good evening, and then we come to switch on, and I knew the minute the lights went on, trouble. And within seconds the lights went on, I was at the forefront of verbal abuse. And unfortunately, and I mean, I'm in my own time. You roughly know your own people, but I was disappointed for our deputy chair, Terry Andrews, who took similar abuse, if not more, in the position that he held. He was almost blamed, it was his fault for the lights, and it was very unsuit. But we managed that, and at the end of that, I put it on Facebook too, because we were getting a lot of complaints. Were people coming up to us, including Sean as well. We've got a lot of complaints, and I put it out there to allow people space on a platform to come in, and I never witnessed anything like it. At 624 likes, which really is unlikes for the three, 526 comments and 42 shares on that one subject, and a lot of stuff, to be honest with you, on it what was unfair. I would not point the finger at any individual councillor for not of mourn, not trying to do their best for the lights in Kilkeel. Everybody had an input into it in whichever way it was, and unfortunately that was the outcome. I did raise the issue at Neighbourhood Services when I was told from the November 11th meeting I sent an apology, I wasn't able to make it. I did read the minutes of that, and I was not sure what it was telling me, so I did speak to our official on it, and he said that this was like, it was a change of technique of how he was going to light this tree, lighting from the bottom up, and all it was doing was lighting the tree trunk, and which is disappointing. But what was I going to say there? We are glad moving forward, at least this year we are getting a cut tree which will be fully lit, and I only hope that will satisfy the residents of Kilkeel and the wider Mourne. Thank you.
Chair, I went out today and met with the residents of Spa. They're very grieved that they don't have a tree. You drive into Newcastle's Lock, Dundrum, Seaford, and they all have nice big lit trees. Now, apparently what actually happened in Spa was there was an elected representative from outside of this council that told them that they were getting the main tree, and the local group went out and bought lights, and they bought like a holder to hold the main tree, and it now transpires that they're not getting it. So I'm asking and making a proposal that if a one off as a goodwill gesture, that the council give them a tree for this year, and I'll work with them along with all our please help councillors to ensure that they go through the proper application process in the next year. But I would just hate to see Spa not getting a tree because of all the work that already has went into it. And I think if we can, for a small cost, that it would be something worth doing, because Spa always feels that it's out, that it's off the main road down the beaten track, and that the council don't really pay any attention to it. So I would like to see this offer to them, please.
Proposal second. Proposed by Alan, seconded by David.
Henry.
Yeah, Chairman, just on the Kilkee Christmas tree, I would like to thank our excellent Chief Executive, Mrs. Ward, for her early response, and Roland Muir, because they come straight back to me and then early this morning, Roland on giving the assurances that a proper tree would be in place. So thank you very much, Mrs. Ward and Roland, for doing that. I think the big thing that's come out of it for me is that Willie and Sean should not go to meetings and make decisions unless Glenn and I are there. because to agree to what they agreed to for that tree was just ridiculous, honestly. And I had an apology in. I had been waiting for a very, very important appointment for 4 months that I couldn't miss. Glenn had planning meetings on. Harold had a waste recycling meeting on. So it was just one of those things that the factors were going against us. But Chairman, on this committee report, could somebody give me a brief update even on the rumours about how the recycling centres are going to be managed in the future? Is it true that every household is going to get a number of permits to use the centres? And on the glyphosate issue, Chairman, I've worked in that end, in agriculture, agri-science end, for years. And I know that I wouldn't use it in food production, if at all possible. But there's going to be big, big cost implications for this council if we can't use it for general maintenance, for weed killing and that type of thing, where it's not really contentious so long as the people using it are well kitted out. But I would like to know the cost implications on that, Chairman. But those are just the two issues that I wanted to raise. Thank you.
Before I take the next speaker in, Harold, are you looking just a point of order? Do you mind, Harold, coming in for a point there?
No.
Glenn and William, no? William, your light is on next. Anyway, William, who has come in there? His light is up for 4 years.
I'm next in line. You didn't know who, you couldn't choose who you wanted to speak, that's why. It's good to see that the council code of conduct warning that Henry got has worked on the respectful manner in which he addressed our top table tonight. But what I just wanted to say, it would be wrong of us as councillors to sit around here. While there obviously was a mistake with the Christmas tree in Kikil, I have to say Warren Pine Town looks absolutely fantastic the way it's been lit up this year, the same as last year. And from what I can see regarding Kikil, the tree was the only issue, but the rest of the town, again, you have to give credit to our council staff and that there, because it lit up exceptionally well. So it would be wrong for the Gwerty here tonight that we got it completely wrong regarding the Christmas lighting of the towns and villages in the district, because we didn't. And I would say to Councillor Lewis, in relation to the sustainable Christmas tree project that the council have been working on for 2 years, that was open to any villages, but a community group had to come forward to work along with the council, and that option is always open there for any group to do that there. So unfortunately one has fell through the system this time, but there is always the opportunity year on year to include others in that there as well.
William.
Chair, thank you very much. And on the same topic of the Christmas trees and the illuminations, I actually think each year, I know the last couple of years there has been problems in areas. I remember a couple of years ago it was Anna Long, so it was there was a hullabaloo about the Christmas tree. Last year Ballinahinch is the same. Theirs actually collapsed last year and that. I think we need to look at it again and have a policy and work on the policy where we have the Christmas trees right across the district are maybe supplied by the same person that does them. But I do know we have a number of living trees in that, and they seem to be working all right in areas. I know Kilray's got one, Cross Guard's got one. It was vandalised last year, so it was the top was cut off it. But, you know, towns like Ballinahinch and that, I have a two or three call into the office today in relation to it, complaining. They said, the tree doesn't look too bad, but look at the fencing around it. That's a disgrace. You've got that metal fencing around it, so what does it do? That takes away from the tree. So it does. So maybe there's things like that we could look at as well, but I think it does need visit again, because every year there seems to be a town where something happens, and Mickey's right there. One town not getting it right, the whole district gets the negative activity from it, so they do. So I think we need to get it right for next year. Not right in 95% of the towns, but right in every town.
Glenn?
Thank you, Chair. Just on that, I didn't actually manage to make till the turn on the lights in Kilkeel, because I was away with yourself down at the Pride of Places awards. But in saying all that there, first of all, I would just like to thank the officers, Roland and whoever else, because Kilkeel is exceptionally well decorated. I think it's the best I've ever seen Kilkeel decorated. There's lots of new lights there at the bottom of the area, in around the traffic lights. It couldn't be done any better. And it was disappointing this has happened. So it was, unfortunately, with the way the turn of events turned up, we ended up where we're at. But now Roland and the officers are now putting this 9 metre Christmas tree up, so they are. And it will not be disturbing the paving around that. Roland has assured me of that. Whatever way they're going to secure it, I'm not sure. But on saying that, there, next year, hopefully, this will not happen, so will not there. And the one other thing I would like to say as well, I know I got a lot of complaints about it, but a lot of people will listen to reason. We didn't get it just right this time. And the one thing I'm really hoping for now is that nobody will touch this Christmas tree when it's put up. I really do hope, and I appeal to everybody in Kilkeel, all the young people, to leave it alone. To leave it alone, because 9 metres high, it will be an excellent asset to the Christmas parade. So, also, thanks, Roland and the staff. I'll pass that on from me.
Catherine?
Hi, Chair. I'm going to switch over to fly tipping, if that's okay. I have had an issue this last week where there was about 200 tyres that was actually dropped on a private property. And what I'm wanting to try and clarify is whenever fly tipping occurs on private property, is there anything that this council can do? Because this particular place that these tyres have been dropped or abandoned on has meant then that a community charity event can't go ahead in the town of Stainfield. So as far as this is concerned, I think there isn't a stringent enough deterrent. Fly tippers know that they can just then go and drop these tyres on private property, and this is what has happened. So I'm just wanting some clarity as far as fly tipping on private property. Thank you.
Chair, just very briefly, and moving back to the Christmas tree. Just to mention, it's sort of following on the Councillor Rowan is saying, Newcastle was a great event, attended that. The new tree was very well received in Newcastle. There had been some concerns with shifting away from our original tree, but everybody I was speaking to thought it was a great success. So it's important the amount of work that our officers that are putting into Christmas and making Christmas special for the community have to be recognised. In regards to the Kilkeel tree, the meeting Sean and I attended with the KTAA and the Chamber of Commerce, it was basically they wanted to retain the tree, the tree that they always used. We were of the opinion that, you know, a cut tree would have been the best option. We said that
on the day, that it would have been a better option to pursue. But the officers then said they would try their best and outline the tree in lights on the main branches. The problem is it's a conifer tree. It's not a deciduous tree. If it was a deciduous tree, it would look okay. The outline would have been pretty spectacular, I'd say. But it was because of the foliage was covering the lights, you know. So it was never going to be, it was never going to work, in my opinion. And what we said at the meeting was that going forward, we'd certainly look at different options for Kilkeel for next year. In regards to maybe looking at a similar tree, an artificial tree that is similar to Newcastle may be an option, or looking at a sustainable tree. But there has to be a consultation with that community of what they want. It's not all the officer's fault. The conifer tree is out of control. It's a big, massive tree, and the branches were continually breaking the lights. You know, so it was a difficult situation for officers to find themselves in as well. But as Sean has said, that you know the other lighting in the town was a great success. And so don't take away from you know the great work that the KDA and the Chamber were doing in regards to the Dickens Day, because it was a major success. But we learn from this and we move on. And in regards to the sustainable Christmas trees rollout, you know, that's almost 20 trees we have put into our community, sustainable approach to Christmas. And I think that has to be recognised. And all them events in Castle Welland as well, there's a major success there that the community have rallied around the sustainable Christmas tree. It's regenerated business in that area. And right across the area, it has to be acknowledged the amount of money that the council is putting into Christmas. You know, that has to be recognised. Chair.
Yes, I do. Thanks very much, Chair. And more if I like the place record, I did have a fantastic weekend from representing the council at the Living Crib and Ballinahinch, which on right through to Kilkeel on Saturday afternoon. I must say the welcome that I got in Kilkeel was very much. It was a warm welcome. It was very much appreciated. And I met so many nice people. And what struck it for me in Kilkeel was this wee poppy. He switched on the Christmas lights. It was great. Fantastic. And then ending up in Ansborough, where Maggie, the oldest resident in Ansborough, done the honours there. You know, it's been a great weekend. And I know I got a lot of concerns raised about the tree in Kilkeel. And I'm more than delighted that the officers have taken on board the concerns and I've come to a resolution. So I'm glad to hear that that's been done. And, you know, and more or less, I'd like to thank the officers and all for all their hard work, especially right across the district. But I do hope that they do look at the tree in Crossgar, because the poor tree was sad and forlorn. They're going to do a wee bit of TLC. But if you can look at that there, but apart from everything else, it was a great weekend. And to all concerned, to all the community groups and associations right across the district, from Sinfield right through to Newton Hampton, Cullerville, and right down to Cross, again, they all deserve a pat on the back for all the work that they do all year round. Thank you.
Well, you're okay. Happy before I take rolling in, it was proposed earlier on there by Alan and seconded by Harold that the council actually works with SPA community group. Have we all agreed with that?
Yeah.
All happy enough with that, yes. Needs to be recorded that. Show of hands, I'm told. Need to show of hands. You all agree? In agreement?
Chair, can we? Chair, could we maybe, because Roland just take a minute maybe to clarify the council's policy and position in relation to Christmas trees, and because there is a Christmas tree working group, so if, before we vote on it, maybe just Roland could clarify.
Thank you, Chair. The proposal this evening is out of your existing policy. The Christmas Illuminations Working Group will work with councillors to determine the locations for your illuminations in your tree. You have a separate process then for your community trees, the sustainable trees, which is done through an open process advertising. So this would be outside of your existing policy should you choose to do that. So just for clarification.
Yeah. But we're still where we are with that proposal by Alan and Harley.
Sure, look, I was only elected in May, so I'm sort of coming on to the back of this, but the group had been promised a tree by an elected rep outside of this council. Yes, okay, granted, it's not the fault of the council, but I'm saying at this late stage, if there's anything that the council could do to see them over for the 1 year, so there's not a appointment, there will be great support. I mean, yes, certainly, I, along with other Sligo Group councillors, will work with them next year to ensure this is done properly and within policy.
David.
Sure, yeah, it's just a follow up from what Councillor Lewis said. I had a discussion with him on this today. He explained the issue to me. I understand there is a policy there, but we have been able to make amendments for other places, you know, and I'm supportive of that as well. And this is the situation where they have been promised, it appears, by an elected representative that something was coming, and as a consequence of that, they didn't think there was any action needed. And I just think the council, that's a good move this once on this. It's certainly something Alan has given a commitment along to work with other colleagues to try and make a bit of movement on this for next year to make sure that everything is applied in terms of policy. But I think the council could possibly look at doing something for SPA, but it would certainly be greatly perceived within that local community, and that's why, as I say, I was more than happy to support this proposal.
Sure.
Thank you, Chair. And I would not want to be the Grinch or neglect any town or village Christmas, obviously, but can council officials tell us how many people applied for this and weren't successful that don't have a tree? You know, there is other towns and villages probably out there that in our council that don't have a tree. You know, last year Clough didn't have one and I purchased one out of my own pocket for them. Whereas this year they've got a sustainable one, which is brilliant. You know, it's going to be there forever, hopefully. You know, that's what we have to be mindful of. If we agree to salvage, we can if we wish. But how many other councillors could come back next week to a committee and say, oh, there's a tree not here? The 25th, you know.
Willie.
Sure, it's along similar lines. You know, we have a policy in place, and I don't want to be screwed either in regards to this, you know, but there is an issue. You could be facing challenges from other groups who weren't successful in this process, and I think there has been a number of requests. Indeed, the Castle Allen group, their tree had been damaged slightly. I think there's one in Cruscar as well, was there? There was a damaged tree and they were looking at a replacement tree. You know, so there's a number of groups out there, you know, in a similar sort of position. So I think we just need to be mindful. All them groups went through the process for the sustainable Christmas trees. And I find it bizarre that there's not an elected representative from that area. I wasn't aware that there was a need for a Christmas tree at SPA over the years. You know, where were they? Why weren't they making the case at that stage? You know, so I just find it very difficult. I think it undermines the whole process. Because it's not just a tree, it's lights and everything else, power connections, you know, that will have to be sourced. And trying to get electricity to sites and stuff, and suitable sites and all that, it's just not as quick as sticking a tree up. So I think if we step outside, you know, our policy, we're going down a very dangerous road.
Yeah, Chairperson, something in the similar vein. We need to be fair to everyone. I know in our grass we had to get farmers to scour the hillside looking for a suitable tree with all sorts of equipment to erect a tree for our grass, which was then decorated by the local community. It seems to me that really we need to make a log of all communities that do have trees within our council area and have a more consistent and thought-out approach in our working group as to how we're going to service them all. Because, you know, we can't be talking about more than 30. I mean, it's not right to be including some towns in and leaving some towns out. Thank you.
Chair, no, I appreciate what saying, but there is lights, there's a base, there's electricity, electricity there from a local hall, all they're simply looking is just the tree. Hello.
Well, it was explained to us the policy, right? But are we all agreed that we do something to help SPA? I mean, council can agree on it, or vote against it. Put it to a vote then. Put it to a vote. Those are proposing the seconder. I'm not going to discuss it completely. We'll go for a vote on it. Sorry.
Just very briefly before we go for a vote, the same as what Garrett and Willie had said, I don't want to be the Grinch here, but I don't have the information in front of me of people in my area that applied for it, so you didn't get it. So I can't make that decision based on go back to the people I represent who were turned down for a three in the area. So it puts us in a very, very difficult position. So we can't just willy-nilly throw our hands up in the air and say, yeah, go for that area without the information in front of us. I think that's why there is a Christmas Illuminations group to discuss this. And it's something that we need to be talking about well before now. Because if I back this now, you can guarantee I get a few phone calls and messages from people in my area going, why didn't you back? We didn't get a three. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. Don't have that information, so we can't back it.
I mean, there's enough lights in the boardroom flashing on this last 10 minutes to do all the Christmas trees in the country.
Yeah.
Huh? And the gravy's boiling. Yeah. Go ahead.
Can I just say to members that there is a robust policy and a process around the allocation of Christmas trees, and the working group is there for that purpose. It is difficult in this environment to make a decision because we as officers don't actually hold all the information that you would need to see who went forward, who didn't go forward. The process will have gone through the financial assistance scheme, which has a process around that. So what you would do tonight is step outside that financial assistance scheme if you vote in favour of the allocation of the tree. And I don't want to be Grinch either, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Terry's
legs
are
here.
Dead
on. Just more or less what I would like to say is that after tonight, is there provisions that groups who weren't successful, they can reapply again for next year, you know, because I think that's very important that message goes back to like the SPA and other towns and all through the district that they can apply and their request will be taken under consideration. But I think it's very important that message goes across.
Chair, was there not a process set in place where the living trees were concerned that there would be a rolling process? Hopefully, and I would support Councillor Lewis and something maybe happening this year. But we then need through the working group is to get the other areas on and work them up and get them delivered. So we do. I know Councillor Lewis has asked, I've heard other councillors saying, you know, somewhere in their area, but no other councillor raised it tonight until Councillor Lewis did raise it in relation to the SPA. So, you know, I think we maybe should be voting on the proposal later, the proposer and the seconder, and I think we should maybe be voting on that there. So we should, and we hopefully get the SPA on with other areas for next year. And it's up to councillors to go out there in their own areas that haven't got and say, look, get into that process for next year.
Mark.
Thank you, Chair. Just to ask Alan, was it did you say it was an MLA that promised this? Well, I suggest that the MLA should apologise to the community group and then pay for it himself or herself, whatever it is.
Right.
He has to do
that sometimes. Yes, you've got Harold. No, yes, just Tricia, and now you owe your heart.
Christmas, Charlie. Could I just say that if we go for a vote on this year, that this proposal is outside of the policy. The policy is only for sustainable Christmas trees, but this is not. This is not what he's asking for. Cut three.
Right. Chair, just before we go for a vote, very, very briefly, I mean, I can see the headlines of councillors denying or stopping Christmas in areas, and it's the wrong message to send out. As Councillor Walker had said, you know, other people didn't bring up their areas until Alan had brought up his area. I'm not here advocating for trees in my area because people haven't brought it to me. What I'm saying is I don't have that information. And right now, as groups, we identify people to sit on the Christmas Illuminations group to have these conversations. We actually have structures in place to have these conversations. And if those people then feedback to us, if there's an issue, we look at it. But if we pull things up at the last minute before Christmas, and then we have a vote on stopping a Christmas tree, I mean,
We've an hour on this, and it's ludicrous. And the headline that it's going to send out is embarrassing to this chamber. It's not like we haven't made the decision before. We have structures and groups in place to discuss Christmas trees and illuminations. And I mean, to put that headline on the top of us as councillors, I think is, it's election year, and it's a wee bit shameful. So I would ask that we don't have a vote on this, and we look to engage through the Christmas illuminations group going forward. That's, I mean...
So the lights are on.
Just one.
It's lit up like a New Jersey turnpike.
Charlie, hi. Chair, quickly one point. I was saying, we were 2 minutes on the 15-acre path this evening, and now we're over an hour on the light. But I raised about an area with my own group leader a few days ago, and he said it was outside the policy. So I did. That's why it wasn't raised. He said it was outside the policy.
That's my next. Chair, that is a disgraceful comment. I'm not a electioneer nor seeking to get headlines on this at all. It was brought to me today, and if I had been aware of this the day after I was elected, SPA would probably have a Christmas tree right now. But the fact is that it was brought to me this morning, and I was only made aware that they weren't told about the application process, they knew nothing about it, and they were promised by an MLA. Now, granted, yes, that's not this council's fault, but there's no electioneering or headline grabbing. I'm simply looking a goodwill gesture of this council, and I appreciate all of the council's presence outside of the process, but the fact is they weren't told about the process, they weren't involved in the process, and it's simply just to get us through this.
Just, Chair, very much for clarity, and I have to say this because I don't want to admit it, that I had said that Alan Lewis or Councillor Lewis was electioneering. I said what it would look like in the public is that we are electioneering on this issue. If we seriously come out in all the decisions that face us right now and where we find ourselves and the nurses spike and that, and we have front page paper headlines on a bloody Christmas tree, excuse me French, I mean, how daft does that look? So I'm not saying you're electioneering, I'm saying what it would look like in the public, what is going on in that chamber. And actually, I think that's very unfair on all the people that work in the group. I think it's very unfair on Roland as the director. We actually have a structure in place to look after this. And for us then having this conversation right now is wrong. It needs to be under those structures. And that's why I think we should just say it's outside the policy area and there's no need to take a vote on this. Because what it looks like, if we take a vote, fair enough. But I'm just saying that's a bit of common sense here.
Right. All those in favour of Alan and Horace's proposal, raise your hand, please. Anybody counting?
11-4.
Okay, 11-4.
Right.
Those against?
I'll give you Denise now if you want to try. I'll give you Purple Denise and you can get it back.
Yeah. There you are. I'm not 40.
Yeah, for me.
20 against and any abstentions? And 2 abstentions. Okay.
Okay.
Proposal's lost.
On to... Chair, you're still in neighbourhood services, yeah? Still in neighbourhood services. Right, before we move on, the next item...
Still in neighbourhood services, yeah?
Yeah, you're going to reply to some of the concerns.
All right, so I have a couple of things, Charlie.
Right, go ahead, thanks.
Something now?
Yeah. You speak and then...
Yeah, okay. Page 4, it's just around fly tipping. And just comment on that. Could I just ask that Roland takes note of the fact that we think we made a request about a notice I copped on, and of course I'm at work outside Ballinahinch. There's a notice, sort of like a new notice, with a new council logo on it, referring to CCTV cameras been in the area for dumping. It's obviously a hot spot for dumping. We've been asked of those in the Carrick McStay area of Bourne, up in on the Carrick Road. There's quite a lot of dumping over the last number of years. And but some of the officers in the western part of the council area don't seem to have recognised that this exists. So could I just ask you to take a look at that? I could also ask that I've been given a warm point over the last number of days, and I never witnessed anything like the dog dirt on the streets. and it was actually a shame. There were visitors in along with us, and it was actually a shame to be from the area in terms of the footpaths of Warren Point littered with dog food. It's getting worse. So there's a proposal here about labelling the bins, you know, to let inform people that you can actually put dog poo in the bins. So can I ask that in the centre of Warren Point that those are treated as urgent as possible? Can I also ask, could you examine if enough enforcement has been carried out in that area? I'm led to believe, following some information requests from your department, that the number of prosecutions and fines in the Warren Point area have been negligible in follow-up for people, and you know the place is just you can hardly pick your step, you know. So could I ask that that's looked at as a matter of urgency? That's the two things, that the bins are done, and secondly, what level of enforcement and what level of cover is, you know, is Warren Point getting the attention of the dog wardens or whatever it is after that? Okay, thank you.
Chairperson, page 4, picking up on Councillor Lewis's motion. By my estimate, that's about 36 motions like this have been passed since I was elected as a councillor, going back 12 years. And each time, Councillor assures us that some proactive action will be taken. Could I suggest to Councillor Lewis and to perhaps the chairperson of the committee, Councillor Owen, that they look at the possibility of setting targets? My suggestion would be that we should aim for a target about one quarter to one third what North Down achieve every month. Even if we were just to set a target of 10% of what North Down achieve, it would be a fivefold increase in the number of fines in our council area. So far, I've had replies from 8 councils, and I haven't found a single council with a record as bad as ours in terms of getting fines on fly tipping, littering, and dog fouling. So I would suggest to the chairperson of that committee, Councillor Owen, that she consider the committee setting a target for staff under each of those headings and make it a very modest target, a fraction of what other councils already achieve, just to see if we can actually take it up year on year and actually have a proactive effect on fly tipping. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Is that on? Yeah.
Yep.
It's page 6 under waste management. Just received a complaint from the Darker Evenings coming in about the security light at the Mindy site on the Chapel Road in Uri. It's actually, when you're coming up the hill, the light's actually shining into the windscreens of people's cars. I'm wondering, just with a slight tweak, without turning it off, that this could be amended for road safety issues.
Right, Roland, your 5 or 6 items are going to maybe address them. Thanks.
Yep, thank you, Chair. good memory. First of all, Councillor McKevitt, yes, we'll be at a maintenance guide to look at that light. Councillor Enright, you'll be aware that we do have an enforcement action plan to try and improve areas of enforcement. But certainly, I'll take your point and I'll speak with the Chair to see how we can move that forward. In relation to Councillor McAteer, I will look at those items that you've raised and get them progressed. Councillor Doran, just on the Kilkeel tree, you're asking what's happening. So the plan is to get a 9-metre tree in this week without disturbing the ground in the lower square. So we do want to use a frame with a socket in it for a tree and ballast it. So there should be no disruption to the pavers itself and hopefully have that lit this week as well. We're working with KDA and the local community on that. Councillor Riley, yes, there is a plan to introduce a permit system for householders who have commercial type vehicles so that we don't exclude them from the HRCs. So that will permit everyone to use it, but we can send you through the details of that. On the glyphosate, I don't know how to say that word, on that motion, that's the one, yes. Yeah, on that motion, council officials are committed to produce a report back to committee before next season's spraying season, if you like, to give councillors the full costs and also best practice of what is happening elsewhere in relation to that material.
Chairman, can I just say to Rowan, thanks for that info, but I would be very concerned about putting restrictions on how the recycling centres are used, because all it will do is increase illegal dumping. We should be doing everything to encourage households throughout the district to make maximum use of those facilities and not deter people. And I would ask you to keep that in consideration.
Okay, Councillor Walker, you talked about the policy. You're right. I think there's learning this year in relation to Christmas eliminations, and it's something that I think the first meeting of the Christmas eliminations working group is in February, and we'll take a lot of the learnings from this year and see how we can improve next year going forward. You raised the issue about fencing. Unfortunately, some of the trees do need security barriers around them. Now, we try and make them look as pleasant and aesthetic as possible, but we need to protect these facilities as well. Hold on, Councillor Harry, you asked just that we weren't disturbing the lower square, so I'll give that answer there in to Councillor Doran. And Councillor Clark, I asked about the options for Kilkeel again. We would take that back through the Christmas Illuminations Working Group next year. Councillor Owen, I asked about the tyres on private property, and unfortunately, yes, when it is done on that scale in private property, it's actually probably NIE would have to deal with it. But certainly, we can get the legislative requirements and get that to you, Councillor Owen, so you're aware of exactly what our remit is. I hope I've covered them all, Chair.
Did you finish, Roland? Good on. I need a proposal and a second now for the minutes of that Neighbourhood Services Committee, proposed by Catherine, seconded by Terry Hardy. On to item number 10. I don't think there's anything to be referred from the Planning Committee. Would that be right? No, thank you. Item number 11 is conferences, NSD.
Yeah, Chair. Within the correspondence, it's noted that Councillor Robert Burgess has been appointed the National Association of Councillors to UK Executive Committee. I've also just been advised that Councillor Casey has been appointed as the Vice Chair of the Executive Committee. So the dates of the various events are held within this, so I'd ask that the Council propose and second note on that, and we will work with those councillors in relation to any potential arrangements for attendance at the events.
Okay.
Proposed
by John Doran.
Chair, can I ask a comment?
Yeah.
Chair, just all these meetings that they're going to, would it be possible that we get some feedback from them? As, to be quite honest with you, I would suggest that yourself and Councillor Burgess sit down and put your heads together and actually write out something there that we can all get some feedback, because we don't hear anything about what takes place at them. We know very little about them, so we do. I would say there's £5,000 worth of trips there, so there is, as well as that too. It's not good for climate change, do we really need to run to as many of them?
But every single member in this chamber is a member of the NAC committee, members committee, and periodically you would get correspondence sent to you. You'd probably just put it in the junk box, but if you'd open them up, every single conference or meeting that has been had by the NSC, both in the North, England, Scotland, Wales, whatever, you get the correspondence. Open it up and have a look at it, Glenn.
Well, I would suggest to you, Chair, then, that you and Robert there maybe highlight the points that would be more relevant to ourselves. I know it's all supposed to be relevant to ourselves, so I would suggest maybe you
highlight. You are a member. You can attend any full members meeting, Glenn.
I know, but
you realise that?
I'm not getting paid to go to
you
Scotland.
You realise that? No, I'm talking about the ones that are held in the North there.
But I'm only suggesting, Charlie. Yeah.
There was one here a couple of weeks ago, and there's no
sign
of it.
I don't see anything on here.
Sorry, Chair. Okay. Thanks so much. Just in relation, I do sit on the NAC executive, and I was more than delighted to accept the medallion of office on behalf of Councillor Casey and congratulate him and Robert Burgess on their appointments as NAC vice chair and also as delegate. As I say, at the moment, the NAC are working tirelessly on councillors' conditions, and also we are working hard on the code of conduct, issues that are very important to councillors. And unfortunately, in the absence
of devolved administration issues that affect councillors, such as the revised code of conduct and pay and allowances, are more or less sitting on the desk for a future minister to deal with. But I'd say week in, week out, the National Association of Councillors is a form of trade union for the councillors, over 462 members that we represent. And as I say, our doors are always open and we're there fighting day and daily for our councillors. Thank you.
All right, Eglin, you listening? Thank you very much. On to correspondence received. They're all for noting, are they?
Yeah, sure. Items 12 to 16 are for noting. Item 17, though, is in relation to the appointment of the councillors board, councillors to the board of Warm Point Harbour. And as per the correspondence, I would ask for 6 nominations from council. This then will be subject to the appointments process through the Department for Infrastructure, and we will pass the names and the relevant applications to the department. So if I could have 6 nominations from councillors.
Chair, can I nominate my colleague, Councillor Harold McKee?
Chair, can I nominate my colleague, Glenn Hanna?
I nominate Karen McKevitt and Declan McAteer.
Chair, I'd like to nominate Councillor Mark Evans.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Charles Tinley.
Any more red lights on?
Yeah. I would like to nominate Councillor Tenney as well.
I think you only need the one nomination, Mark, but sure. Yep, I have it anyway.
Mark.
Surely this is party strength, isn't it?
Will I?
Chair, I'll nominate Councillor Liz Kimmins and Councillor Doerr.
Okay.
Chair, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 8 nominations, and they can only accept 6 nominations.
Sure, just point of information. I thought it was to be done under the hunt.
Chair, it refers to within the letter that it's not a position of responsibility or the hunt, but generally what happened in the last term when there was an appointment, it was 2 from Sinn Féin, 2 from SCLP, and 2 from the unionist community, because the department will generally ask for representation across the party groups.
Could I make a proposal then? I'll make a proposal that we have 2 from the SDLP, 2 from Sinn Féin, and 1 from each of the unionist parties. That gives you a total of 6.
Have we got an agreement on that particular proposal now?
No.
Right. Because it's fairly explicit what the board requires, Warren Point Harbour Authority, and Maria's just indicated what it is. So, two from the SDLP, 2 from Sinn Féin, and 1 from each of the unionist parties.
Not everything's the economy, doesn't have to be.
Are we all in agreement with that?
Nope.
Right. Those in favour of that particular proposal, 2-2 and 1-1, put their hands up. Those against that particular proposal?
6 against.
Right,
so, Chair, that will mean that the nominations are Harold McKee, Glenn Hanna, Karen McLevitt, Declan McAteer, Liz Kimmins, and Sean Dorn.
Yes,
that proposal?
Yes, I want to make a statement that I think is absolutely shocking, given that that primarily affects the Crotley DEA, and one third of the councillors in that area are independents, that this council wouldn't consider putting forward one of the 2 independent councillors for that area. Frankly, we're perfectly happy with 2 from Sinn Féin, 2 from SDLP, 1 unionist and 1 independent should have been
the proper way to do things to ensure that every grouping in council, particularly those representing that area that the Harbour Authority is in, had a say. Frankly, there is a complete lack of transparency around what is going on in Warren Point Harbour at the moment. There are significant concerns around dredging, around storage of nuclear, around storage of fossil fuels that are completely opaque and not being shared with the community in Warren Point. And frankly, I think it would have been far better served with either Councillor Gibbons or Councillor Tinley on the Harbour Authority.
You can make a proposal and the council will note them. Make the proposal, any particular proposal, and the council will note. These proposals are independent or included. Yeah, and independent. The independents aren't a grouping, but they are individuals. They can nominate each other. That's the one. And the council will take note of it. But the fact remains is the Board of the Warren Point Authority has indicated two SDLP, two Sinn Féin, and one from each of the union parties to reflect.
And there are only three positions.
Chair,
yeah.
There is
an
appointment process.
Yes.
Yeah.
No department.
Okay. Chair, then just on item 18, there's been notice.
Sorry, Chairman, I felt my late, only has 10 minutes. Go ahead. Well, I know it's sort of immaterial now that the vote's been taken, but I feel like I can't let the issue pass, Chair, in relation to what just happened there. The bigger the port becomes, Chairman, at Warren Point, the more detached it's becoming from the local people and the town that hosts it. And there certainly is a feeling on the ground that there's now a democratic deficit whereby the views and in some cases the concerns of local people are not being sufficiently represented by the board. So I just wish to actually express my disappointment at what just happened there in relation to the vote, but obviously as a Democrat I accept it, but the people of Warren Point are not happy that the council representation on the board, at the very least there should be two of those three councillors should be local councillors, and that is why I was proposing Councillor Gibbons to that position. Thank you.
Sure. Warren. Yuri gave Warren Point that harbour a number of years ago and they never looked back. Sure. We want it back again. But it's not late on. Mark's got his late on and Peter's his late on. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, the decision's made, Councillor, or Chair, the decision's made and that's democracy is. Councillor Tinley has said, but it's just especially disappointing for myself as a Warren Point man that I can't get even an opportunity to represent Warren Point people on the board. So, but that's democracy. So,
Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to reiterate, I suppose when we heard democratic deficit, for my grouping with 11 councillors, and we picked the two Crotley vices to put forward as proposals. If we went through this process and we didn't have our vice represented through a Crotley Council for 11 councillors here, same as Sinn Féin with 16, I think that's an even bigger democratic deficit. And you know, you've a unionist grouping of, what, 8 councillors. So whatever you spin this, you can say there's a democratic deficit. So we've put forward a councillor from that area and who will strongly represent and work hard in that group. And we've no problem updating everybody in this chamber. It's certainly not, you know, working us against any other group. I want to ensure that there's a strong SDLP voice on that, and that's why we went with the two local people, and only one of them will be selected, because they've asked for 3 out of the 6. So we make no apology for that, and I know that the Alliance Councillor, Councillor Brown, had said in his proposal that he'd go for 2 SDLP, 2 Sinn Féin, so I don't think there's anything that we need to answer on that. If you're talking about the unionists and one from independent, we come back to the same argument. If there was an independent grouping at the start of the year, we'd have absolutely no problem, you know, supporting that. But I'm here to speak on behalf of my group, and I am certainly not going to go into a process where a vice of the SDLP 11 is going to be missing from that, a local vice. So that's why we're putting forward the two councillors.
Yeah, Chair. On item 18, just to draw the members' attention that Councillor Enright's appointment to the Drainage Council has been extended to allow for a further appointment to be made, and the department will be writing to us in January of 2019 in relation to that. The remainder of those correspondences are just for noting, and I would just ask the proposer and seconder to note those.
Can we have our proposer and seconder?
Moved by Gareth, seconded by Robert.
Yeah.
On to the motions now. The first one, transport to hospitals, is being deferred to the Health Committee, and that's in the name of Councillor Catherine Owens. Catherine, you can speak to the motion. We've got a second, but then it goes forward to Health Committee.
This council notes the extra challenges people in rural areas have in accessing hospital services vital to their health and well-being. This council will convene a meeting of councillors, local community transport providers and the Health Trust to develop an action plan for rural areas in Uri Mourne and Down, promote present support for people in rural areas and the new action plan in our own communications.
Thank you. Can we have a seconder for that? And we'll move it.
I second that, Chair.
Thanks very much. The next one is in the name of Councillor Clark, and it's been deferred to Health Committee also. It's support for health and social care workers. Would you mind speaking to it?
Yes, Chair. This Council supports the overwhelming response from Royal College of Nurses, RCAN, ballot in favour of industrial action and the decision of other health and social care, HSE trade unions, including Unison and NHSA, decision to ballot members for industrial action. Health and social care workers are the system's greatest assets, and they are entitled to fair pay and conditions. Over 7,000 non-medical vacancies, including 3,000 nursing post vacancies that currently exist within the HSE system, are having a detrimental impact upon patient care and adding enormous pressure to the existing HSE workforce, who are doing everything they can to care for patients. Health and social care workers are taking action as they are no longer willing to see patients being denied the care to which they are entitled. We call on the Permanent Secretary for Health to engage respectfully and meaningfully with the trade union representatives on a pay deal. Furthermore, we call on this Council to convene an all-party meeting with the trade unions representing health and social care staff to hear directly the challenges they are facing and take such action to support staff and patient care at this time.
Sure.
Nice, I'm not sure.
Thank you very much for that. On to the next one. It's in the name of Councillor Roisin Mulgrew, and as you know, Roisin can't be here, but it's going to be spoken to by Willie, and it's going to be debated. Fire and Rescue Service budget.
Chairperson, I'll have to withdraw because I'm on the board of the Fire Service.
Very good.
I read it in there, Chair.
Yep.
Did this Council contact Mr. Pengally, Permanent Secretary, and ask all other councils in the north to do likewise to address the significant shortfall in the proposed budget for the Fire and Rescue Service? The continuing cutting of budgets has left life-saving services at a critical level. We also call on Mr. Pengally to look again at expanding and sharing emergency services and cover, especially in rural areas. Speaking of the motion, then, you want somebody second that first?
I'll second
that, sir. In a second. Just get my page up here, folks. No, just to begin by paying tribute to the men and women firefighters out there who do a tremendous job at great risk to themselves. I think it's important to outline the continued cuts that's facing our public services, austerity, continue to bite in our society and particularly in our public services, frontline services. The previous motion that I read in as well is a similar argument in regards to the austerity that is cutting our public services to pieces. The work undertaken by local fire crews is of great importance to local communities. I saw it firsthand, the fires in the Mourns over the summer, with firefighters fought for days to get the fires under control, and they were exhausted in doing so. But they never shirked their responsibilities in regards to that. Talking to firefighters on the ground, morale is suffering. There's no doubt about that. Talking to ordinary rank and file members of the fire service, they can't attend their community events that they used to attend, particularly in road safety, doing extremely valuable work with young people driving their experience and how they drive in the future. Looking at cutting people out of car to emphasise the dangers of speeding. Really valuable work that makes a lasting impact on young minds. Also in regards to inspections, and particularly in vulnerable people's homes, these have all been cut back also, in regards they are not being allowed to attend. So all that great work, you know, tackling social isolation as well, and the fire service calling, checking smoke alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, but reassuring members of the public, particularly the vulnerable members of our community, you know, of dangers in regards to fire risk. A few points to be raised. Full-time fire officers, there's a numbers, or they should be 917. Currently, they're below 800. Retained number should be 989. Currently, less than 880. 150 full-time officers due to retire over the next 2 years. Numbers now are at a really critical level. In the 2019-20 budget, 74.1 million budget. In 2011-12, it was 81.6 million. You know, so you can see the massive salami slicing of frontline service, public services. And the cover in a number of fire stations, they've reduced in Carrickfergus, Armagh, Portadown, Oma, Enniskillen, Newton Ards, and Armagh, and further reductions are feared in remaining towns and cities. These cuts have already seen an increase in response times. Fire safety officers are being used to plug gaps in crew numbers, meaning fire inspections are not being carried out. There's no whole time, full-time fire crew west of the ban, other than in Derry. And so I think my colleague in Hanlon is going to speak more in regards to the training and the working with the community. So I propose a motion.
Yeah.
You know, can you try one of the other microphones just?
No.
Sorry, Chair. If Karen could turn it off.
Turn it off now.
Try now.
Okay, that'll be good. Just to pick up on what Councillor Clark was saying with regards to training. So I think it's important to understand the implications of the cuts in the budgets and speaking to, you know, firefighters, especially in the rural areas where they really do rely on training very much so, because they don't get as many call-outs as ones in bigger towns and cities. So they really do need to be trained, because although you may look at that as a positive that they're not going out to emergency calls, they're not actually getting that experience either. The fire prevention team, that's another thing that will be cut as well. So when you see the teams going out, as Willie said, you know, training our youth about, you know, fire, or training our youth about safety in driving and people being cut out of cars and things like that there, but also like elderly people, you know, teaching them about safety within the home. These are all the cutbacks that we're going to see, and it's going to end up that it's just going to be emergency call-outs only, and that is an extremely worrying development. So happy to support the motion.
Karen had indicated before you, and there's a mix-up in the lights there.
Yeah, it was actually William and then myself and then Karen, I think it was, but you know, so.
Now go ahead, your lights on now.
I would just like to thank Councillor Mulgrew for bringing this motion. I know Councillor Clark presented it for in relation to it. Totally agree with all that has been said in relation to it. I've seen it firsthand in my own town of Killyleagh, working with Fire and Rescue Service and young people. When we had the light scheme, took 15 young people and put them through the paces for a week. You know, they were young people that were causing antisocial behaviour in the town, and that actually turned the young people away from antisocial behaviour, and they went on to better things in life. So they did. And I do commend the work of the Fire and Rescue Service. But can I say this thing?
this, that is this not a reason why we should have our assembly up and running again? This is where this should be dealt with. We should be there lobbying the Northern Ireland Assembly for funding for frontline services, not just the fire and rescue service, but our education and our health and that. And I think it's a shame that our assembly is in limbo and all these cuts are coming down the line because permanent secretaries are making these cuts. There's no ministers there to take the decisions. And I think it's now time that people bury the hatchet and get back into the assembly and work for the people of Northern Ireland. Because this is one thing. There's cuts right across the board. So there is. And I think that come Christmas, parties seriously need to look at themselves, at what they're doing here. Because the buck stops with them, not the permanent secretaries. And I think it's just a shame that we don't have an assembly to deal with this. And it's left to council and councillors to debate this. We don't have the powers to get funding and that there. Some of these motions are just going through the motions. So they are brought to council. We don't have the powers. We will pass this motion tonight, hopefully unanimously. But what will happen in 2 or 3 weeks' time? A letter will come back. And that's the end of it. So it is. The only people that can make a difference here is the Northern Ireland Assembly and Assembly members and the committees at Stormont. So let's get back to Stormont and let's deal with them and let's deal with these issues. A lot of these issues can't be dealt with in council chambers, but unfortunately we're having to try and do it because of the Assembly. So let's get back to the Assembly.
Chair.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Just raise the party, we'll support the motion. But there's a bit of the wording, and I'm hoping in a good spirit that it's accepted. But I just find it a wee bit weak, considering that this council, in my view, has led the way for all blue light emergency services and how they can combine together to protect our district. So I was wondering if I read out just a slight amendment wording, because all the budgets have been affected for our emergency services, and it does have a domino effect right across the responders, and just where it's to address a significant shortfall on the proposed budget, instead of saying for the fire and rescue service, could we have for all blue light emergency services added there? That way, that the like of our ambulance service, that you know, and support our fire and rescue services, like the like of Cross McLean, Newton, Hamilton, where our fire service sort of combines together as an ambulance service because of timings and et cetera there, and right across our district that way, but also because of our coastal location that we have and our rural location that we have. We rely heavily on our mountain rescue service and also our coastal services as well. So, I mean, it's just in good spirit that I would like to see that support given to all our blue light services to enhance. And of course they take on board the points of the services of the fire and rescue service outside of where they're given education programmes and all that. So does our other blue light service, and I would like to see all of that enhanced for the benefit of all our constituents. I'll take on board Willie's point about, you know, having the right to, I suppose, an unelected civil servant. We all would love to be able to be writing to our own minister on this occasion, but they're not in the assembly. So, I mean, but we do need to protect the budgets of all our blue light emergency services. Thank you.
Hi, David. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Chair. Chair, we'll be supporting the motion as well. I'm certainly happy to support the amendment if that's accepted by the proposers. It's clear that the budgetary constraints that the fire and rescue service find themselves within at present are having a serious impact on frontline services. We've seen over recent months decisions been taken to look at reducing frontline services, withdrawing services from certain towns and villages across Northern Ireland, and that obviously raises concerns within local communities, the concerns that are these services able to fulfil the role that they have to play. And so you have to admire the work that they carry out, because it's vital to local communities. And when they find themselves in these constraints, it does affect their ability to be able to respond to incidents with them when they happen. Councillor Walker has made a relevant point, though. You know, we are at a stage now in Northern Ireland where the crisis point. That there's no other way of describing it. There's a severe government deficit which is having an impact on everybody's lives, whether it be health, emergency services, or whatever it may be, education. The list goes on. But we are at a point now where we need a government back here in Northern Ireland. If the Assembly can't get back up and running, direct wheel it has to be. We need some form of decision making that's able to make decisions on these type of budgets, because at the minute they're being looked at from a cold, hard point of view rather than actually what impact it has on local communities, because of the fact that there is a government deficit here. So that is a relevant point that Councillor Walker made, and I certainly support him on that. But I think the consensus would be that the motion will pass tonight with full support, but we must do all that we can to ensure that our emergency services have the full resources to carry out the role that they do.
I take it in good faith, the proposed amendment. I just think it weakens the motion, because we are been lobbied in regards to the fire service, and by and bringing the rest of the blue light sector into the motion, I think it sort of confuses the motion when you're writing to the permanent secretary. So it's not that I'm against it. I just think it would get them off the hook. We do have the ambulance service in regular meetings at our health meetings. They would be here on a regular basis. I don't disagree in regards to mountain rescue and coast guards and whatever else. They're all obviously suffering cuts, but it's not my motion either. I'm just delivering the motion on behalf of Councillor McGrew. Councillor McGrew and myself was lobbied at the Ardash in regards to these issues from firefighters. So I think we'd just do a slight disservice if we weaken the motion.
No. Oh, thanks very much, Chair. It was just given that I felt that the emergency services right across our district combine the resources and expertise that I think that all our budgets are affected on the delivery of programmes, etc. All that's been raised before. It's just enhanced, and that's all I was trying to do. But I mean, listen, we're supporting the motion as read. I just was trying to include the rest of the emergency services, but of course we're supporting our fire services totally, and it was just in good spirit.
Just summing up.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate the majority of the commentary and the support for the motion. In regards to Councillor Walker, I agree. Assembly should be in place, should be up and running. But the biggest cause is the austerity that is crippling our public services. And the austerity that's been delivered by the Tory and the DUP in regards to this for many years, in regards to austerity cuts, cutting at the heart of our public services. But you can't get away from that. And if we do have an Assembly up and running, yes, we can have priorities and look at priorities, but you've still the same amount of money to try to deliver frontline services. So it's not going to be the panacea in regards to that we're going to solve all these issues. It's the end of austerity. Now, Bojo has already stated that he's going to put more public money into public frontline services. The Labour Party have also give a commitment in regards to that. So in the future, after the election, it'll be interesting what money is put into our frontline services, our public services. And in regards to, we all know why the Assembly failed. It failed because of RHI and the misuse of public money, millions and millions of public money. That's why it came down. The denial of rights to minorities. So you know what needs to be undertaken, Billy. We know what needs to happen. And straight after this election, Chair, can I speak? Straight after this election, there will be a period of discussions, intense negotiations will happen. There will be a brief discussion before Christmas, and then the parties will know clearly what they have to do. And to get these services in place and to improve public services, I agree entirely, we need an executive to take priorities. But we all know what we need to do. We need to give the commitments that was given in the negotiations when we had a deal that was agreed, and the DUP walked away from the deal. They walked away from the deal that was agreed. I'm not sure of the bona fides of the negotiators in the DUP. I'm sure of the bona fides of the negotiators in Sinn Féin, that they were committed to the deal. And it was just when the Orange Order then got sight of the agreement that they couldn't deliver the agreement. The DUP assembly team couldn't deliver the agreement. It's as simple as that. So we all know what we have to do. And in regards to Councillor McKevitt, I agree with Councillor McKevitt in regards to the blue light services. And I accepted our bona fides in regards to trying to bring the amendment. And Councillor Taylor says the exact same thing. You know, the assembly. We need an assembly up and running. We need an executive. But we also need rights for minorities guaranteed also.
Right. Everybody in agreement with the motion that's proposed and seconded? Everybody all in favour, raise your hands. Next one is a motion in the name of Councillor Malone. It's a reduction in car parking fees, and this is being deferred to next week's ERT. So, Gavin, if you don't mind, you can speak to it.
Gavin, can you turn your microphone on?
Just have it wrote down here. As the council members are aware, the retail service are currently facing quite difficult times due to falling sales, internet competition, Brexit, and many other difficulties. Many high street household names, both nationally or locally, have gone or are going into liquidation. Even at this late stage, I believe the council should consider reducing car parking fees in our district council area in an effort to increase the footfall in our city and towns in the run up to Christmas. I firmly believe this gesture would be welcomed by our retailers and provide a much welcome boost during very difficult times. Well, sorry, Councillor, I hadn't proper glasses on, so I couldn't read it properly.
Sorry, could we get a second for that then? It'll be seconded by Mark.
Thanks, sir.
To next week's ERT committee. The last one is a notice of motion from Councillor McAteer on elections, and this will be debated.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'll just read it first. The Dirk Council supports the proposition to change in law the current practice of division of holding all elections, whether council, assembly, parliamentary or European, on Thursdays, and further proposes to hold elections on Saturdays. Chair, I brought this motion as a result of representation I received from basically two distinct groups of people. One were cross-border workers, and second was families and with children predominantly at primary school. And the first group, cross-border workers, it's estimated that between 30 and 35,000 people in the north of Ireland are cross-border workers or leave the north during the working week. But many of these people have to leave before the polls open and indeed return late at night. It can be argued, certainly, that they can avail of the postal proxy voting system, but this is not always ideal, and invariably the vast majority in fact lose out, and those are the ones that actually complain to you, and quite a number. In the terms of the families, families and particularly working mothers approach me as well, and are severely affected by either having to take a day off work or find child minors. The other added
issue again in terms of that is that most of the polling stations are actually primary schools. So that impacts on them, on the working mothers and families, and also the schools as well. School closures should be avoided because it's a cost to education, and in terms, it's also a cost to the economy as well, because teachers are off as well. The other aspect to it is that factually 35 other European countries hold elections on Sundays, five on Saturdays, and only the UK holds an election on Thursdays. But the two other countries do hold elections midweek. So it goes. It demonstrates that the majority, the vast majority of elections are held at the weekends or in or around there. An interesting fact is the forthcoming election, which many of us are involved in, will take place on the 12th of December. Now, there's 15 hours of polling. One third of that will be held in the dark. You know, so that does not inspire confidence in the system of having, of course, it's the winter time as well. But if that was held at the weekend, it would free up that time, and people could make their own choices when the majority of people would be off work to hold a vote on Saturday. I do recognise that there may be some opposition to Sunday voting from within our community. That's why I make the proposal that it should be on a Saturday. And I think, in terms of referring where this would go to, but I think probably the first step is the Secretary of State. So that's the crux of really my argument, and I do think it's quite well reflected throughout the community, because quite a lot of people comment on. Thank you, Chair.
Glenn. Chair, without sounding too annoying to Declan, that's the biggest lump of nonsense I've heard in my hours. To be quite honest with Declan, that's a load of waffles.
Tell us how you're anything.
Well, I had to speak in a language that Declan understands. To be quite honest with you, you're talking about voting in the dark. That's nonsense too, Declan, so it is. If you're going to have an election in December, you're going to be in the dark. So, to be quite honest, I don't know where you're coming from and all that at all. And when you're talking about, there's 15 hours to vote there, so there is. Fishermen, there's all sorts of workers there, be all over the place. There's postal and proxy there to deal with that sort of an issue. And bear in mind, Declan, this is a devolved issue, so are not devolved, it's dealt with in London, so it is. So we have no say on it whatsoever. And that even start talking about a Saturday. That's the day of rest, that is, for a whole lot of people as well, so it is, as well as Sundays. So, to be quite honest with you, I think it's a load of nonsense you've come out with. Counting won't happen on a Sunday, so it won't, because it'll just not suit people. I just think, Nathan, you've come out with a load of utter nonsense. Thank you, Chair.
Andy.
Thank you, Chair. We'll support the motion. I suppose, though, I must say, I think voting on a Thursday is probably the least of the issues that we have with our sort of democratic process at the minute. Just in a wee historical point as to why elections are held on a Thursday, and I'm quite partial to this, being a Liberal Presbyterian. The logic is this, that if elections are held on a Friday, then it's too close to payday, and there was a fear that people would turn up to the polling station inebriated. And similarly, that's true. Similarly, if they were held too close to a Sunday, that there would be no distinction, there wouldn't be a clear distinction between church and state. So either way, there was a valid concern about voting under the influence. Personally, I don't see how a weekend vote would lead to greater participation. And again, I'll echo Glenn. I'm not overly enthused. But not quite so much nonsense, but I'm not overly enthused about overnight counting from Saturday to Sunday. I suppose wider, you know, I mean, I would be proposing to, you know, wider it out, you know, into electoral reform, extending the SCV system for Westminster elections, extending the franchise to vote to 16, and civic forums for a series of debates and evidence-based discussions. Pardon me? So I thought anyway, yes, just I'll finish up again. Parliament is meant to reflect the society it represents, and we're sort of this is failing quite badly, and this is sort of brought the head in South Down where we don't get represented. So I'll finish on that note anyway. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Una.
I'm going to try and be serious here because everybody else knows I'm really joking. With regard to the debate on the Saturday, I think we need to look at it on a wider implication. With elections, I think we really look at touching on what Councillor McMurray was saying, you know, lowering the voting age, thinking about online voting and flexibility. There has been a lot of work done around this, and like especially voting education in schools to encourage people to actually know how important it is to actually come out and vote. So it's really looking at that. There was a bit of online research that I found that said, and this is from the chief executive of the AEA, John Turner, and he said that moving elections from a non-weekday, it might encourage a few, but he thought only a few. And the research suggested that previous governments had looked at the proposal and rejected it on the basis of cost and premises available. 53% of respondents, and particularly those with a role within running elections, among those, 80% favoured keeping it to a weekday. So they're just things that I came across. But I definitely do think that a wider reform is needed in general. Thanks.
Thank you. David.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm not going to be as blunt as Glenn. It's one of those things where I don't want to oppose it, but I don't want to support it either. As I think it needs a lot more work. I think the proposal of a Saturday isn't the answer in terms of increasing participation within elections. Though there's all sorts of issues raised, even about costs on a Saturday. Will people be required to be paid more to participate because it's a weekend? The other question is that you have Westminster elections, for instance, where counting takes place directly after the vote takes place. I don't feel comfortable with asking people to participate on Sundays in that type of activity. Certainly people of faith that and why should they be barred from participating in that form of democracy? I think the proposal itself, it needs a lot more exploration about, you know, the consequences of it and what will be required. But I think there is, as people have said, there needs to be an overall look at how we improve participation within whatever election it may be. So we're going to abstain on it at this stage.
Kerry wants to, he wants to second.
This is public, the web of Peter Kelly. She had the good stuff to the last. Well, anyhow, I'm going to second the motion, but I know this has been a very important issue over the past lot of years. I know Bertie Ahern at Taoiseach in 2002 moved the Thursday vote to Friday to ensure that the students come home from Dublin or wherever they were, right across the country, to cast their ballots. You know, and I do recognise the fact that, you know, that we are very much concerned about turnout sub elections, and I'd say maybe the Thursday doesn't suit people at all, but then we need to look at all matters in relation to a Thursday poll, maybe shifting it to Friday or Saturday. I know in Europe a lot of the countries are very Christian countries, but they do vote on Sundays, and there's never a complaint there either. But, you know, and then whenever you talk about votes front for the 16s, I do agree. It used to be a song, was it Dylan? Why call your mum Dylan? Bob Dylan sang it. You know, he had 16, you had to kill him not for voting. That was, you know, the song was out then. That's another issue to look at for a rainy day. Even electronic voting in Dublin was a flop. It cost millions and they had to scrap it. Hard to beat the trusty pencil, you know what I mean? But I think realistically we should look at the interest most nights, stacking it, and maybe a letter could be sent to whatever. It's on the onus of the Prime Minister or the Taoiseach to decide what they to call an election. I'll be seconding the motion, but I know that Bojo was talking about Monday the 14th of October, but he stuck to Thursdays. But I need to look at that, but I'll second the motion.
Yeah, boy, the link always talking about the dog and the muddy roundabout.
Given that there has been a wider discussion opened up there, I wonder would Councillor McAteer accept an amendment that we, you know, defer for more debate in the future?
Two, there's two there, right?
Yeah.
Chair, sorry, the mics aren't on for the recording, just so can Councillor Hammond turn her mic off? Councillor...
Two red lights on up there.
Councillor Riley was next to speak and Councillor Gibbons then, so they would need to turn their mics off.
I need to turn my mic off too, yeah? Yeah.
Is a red light on?
Sorry, Councillor Hammond. Sorry, what is your... You were asking... Yeah, but you're saying about deferring it, but I'd ask you just to reconsider it, but even put that amendment, because I do think it's a very important one, but if you agree with the principle of it, there's going to be a hell of a lot of work to be done around this, you know, in terms of thought and progress and everything, but I do think the principles are there. I mean, is this my right of reply, Charlie, or do you want to leave that?
No, you
right
sum up, you sum up at the end, because a number of people have the lights on, and the Christmas dinner is fast becoming a Christmas supper. It'll be tea and toast by the time I finish.
Mark, your lights
on. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I don't agree with Councillor McAteer regarding the day. I don't think that is the. When it comes to anybody that's talking to me, the biggest issue is the election posters. And if there was any way at all that there could be a complete ban on election posters in this day and age with social media. The word can get out far more, far better, and I think they're a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of space, and they are horrible for the environment. They're actually dangerous. They're a hassle putting them up, and I just think in the long run, there's no need for them. I'll not be using them. If I do run again in the next local election, I've made a promise to my constituents, the people that voted for me, that I'll not be using them again. I'm done and dusted with them. They're a waste of time, so maybe that could be for another time to talk about it.
They're hard to put up, but people find it easy to finish in. Turn posters down. Turn off your light, Mark. Turn off your light, please.
Sorry, Charlie. I would intend to take a motion out in the future, if that's okay.
Turn off your light. Thank you. Who have we got now? Declan, going to sum up? If anybody else know what happened? Declan, going to sum up?
Yes, yeah, sir. Yeah, no, I appreciate certainly what Una was saying, but I do think that we have to recognise what I... Sorry, could I...
Order, please.
Yeah, I do have to recognize. We have to recognize there's the main salient points here are, and I can understand. Probably I don't understand Glenn calling it a load of nonsense, and that seemed to be formed the whole and the only basis of his argument. Unfortunately, he seemed to miss the whole point that this wasn't about a turnout. I never mentioned the word a turnout because, I mean, there are no figures that support that. But it was simply to recognise the 30,000 to 35,000 people here in the north who actually work in the south, and they are a sizeable body of people. We're also talking here about the schools. We're also talking here about the young families that have to take their children out of schools and go to the inconvenience of doing that. I think the practicalities that are being missed by some people who contribute this. And I also recognise that a hell of a lot of work needs to be done on a consultation, and there would be a consultation that, but the reason I moved this is that it was something that was brought up, and I know Councillor Gibbons was more interested in the posters, but it was also brought up, not alone in my election and our council election back in May, but also this current election as well, you know, where people were talking about. So I do think that it needs attention, and that's why I would ask everybody to support the notion of the motion. Thank you. Yeah, I thought the Secretary of State, because as I said, it's not a devolved matter. It's a Westminster matter. Yes, so that has to be addressed there, you know. Maybe the DUP could get Northern Ireland on a special case again.
All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands.
One, two, three. Nine. Okay, all again.
That's it. All those against?
I can, yeah.
Four against. Okay.
Abstentions?
So that was 4-9, 4 against, and 19 abstentions. So the motion's lost. That's the end of the meeting.
Thank you very much. And